you there. Welcome once again to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. It's December the 8th. Very special day as the church today celebrates the solemnity, which is a big deal. You know, solemnities are the highest holy days of the church. The solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother Mary. We're going to look at today's gospel because I have to reach for my water. Excuse me a second. Because the gospel gives us some really good insight into the Blessed Mother and how she can help us, in particular during this Advent season. So I think there's a really great Advent message contained in today's gospel. It's the story of the Annunciation, when the Blessed Mother was approached by the angel Gabriel, who had come with a special mission for her and gave her the invitation to become the mother of the Savior, which of course she said yes. And as a result, you and me, we got a Savior out of the deal. So it's really something that we should look at, we should be grateful for. And I'll take it a step further and say we should try to imitate Mary's response to the angel, to God's request, by saying yes. So we will look more closely at that on the show. Glad to have you here with me. Hope you're doing okay. It's brisk here in southern New Jersey. Hope the weather is nice where you are. It's sunny but brisk. But you know what? It is December, so that's what you get in December, especially in the Northeast where I live. The weather's been pretty mild so far this year, so this is not a surprise at all. But again, quickly getting back to that idea of the Immaculate Conception, because I realize that not everybody who listens to this program is Catholic. As Catholics, we believe that the Blessed Mother was conceived without the stain of original sin, and that doctrine it was believed by the early church, but it's partially based on the greeting of the angel to Mary, as we'll read in today's gospel. In Greek, the word used to typically translated or rendered in English as highly favored one or full of grace, that is a word that typically indicates that somebody is not just full of grace from a certain period in time, or, you know, it's been essentially what we're saying is that she was sinless, but it also goes back into the past. So it's not you're a full of grace from this period in time. Looking at the word seems to indicate that this is an event that goes back into the past too. So that's one of the reasons that the church has always believed that the Blessed Mother was conceived without the stain of original sin, because she was chosen in advance. She was selected to become the mother of Jesus. So the belief is that she had to be sinless in order for that to happen. It's also Catholic teaching that Mary did need a Savior. We absolutely believe that, except for the fact that she was saved in advance. So in other words, the fruit of what Jesus did on the cross was applied retroactively to Mary when she was conceived. And again, this is all mystery. This is hard to understand. And that's why it's good that we have a church, and a church who can teach us authoritatively, because some of this stuff is pretty mind-boggling. But at any rate, that is what we celebrate today, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother, not of Jesus, but of the Blessed Mother Mary. This particular feast or solemnity occurs in the middle of Advent because Mary plays such a crucial role in the birth of Jesus. And, you know, that's something we really never want to forget. So as a result, we are going to look at her on the program today. So how about if we do this? How about if we pray right now? And then we'll get right on with the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for once again letting us come to you in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We worship you. We acknowledge that you are Almighty God, that you can do all things, that you have created the entire universe and every creature out of nothing. And as such, Father, we recognize that any problem that we will ever present to you is no big deal, is not a big deal for you. So that gives us confidence coupled with the fact that we know you love us with an unconditional love. So therefore, anything that we present to you, we know that, number one, you can handle, and that, number two, you will respond to our request in the best way possible because you love us. So, Father, with that in mind, we present to you all of our needs today. You know what they are. We pray for our spiritual needs, our material needs. We pray that during this Advent season, we can grow closer to your Son, Jesus, Father, that he can really come alive to us every day throughout the Advent season, and that we are able to prepare to welcome him on Christmas Day. Father, we ask, I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us today. Send us a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Please give me the words that I should speak on the program today, the message that you have for us, and please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to receive and act upon this message. Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, through the intercession of his Blessed Mother, Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you again for tuning into the program. My name is Gary Zimek. The name of this show is Following the Truth. We do this every Monday through Friday, and I'm really blessed that you're able to come along with me for the ride, especially as we journey through the Advent season together, trying to grow closer to Jesus, trying to decrease so that he can increase. You know, because the deal is, unless I decrease, then there isn't room for Jesus to grow in me. I've got to clear up some room for him, and that's really what I want to do during the Advent season, so that come Christmas Day, you know, we got that end point. I've talked about this before. At that end point of Christmas Day, my life reflects more of Jesus than it did at the start of Advent. So that's the hope. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's entirely possible. We might not make the progress that we want to make. But again, we're going to leave that up to the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask the Spirit to help us. Or at least I recommend that you do that throughout the Advent season. Don't put yourself in charge of becoming holy this Advent. Let the Holy Spirit work through you and make the changes that are necessary, because that way the changes are going to be permanent. You're going to have a much greater chance of succeeding as opposed to just trying it through willpower alone. But as a result, and when you do put the Holy Spirit in charge of your Advent, you have to be patient. You have to be patient enough to wait for the Spirit and to let the Holy Spirit work in you. But, you know, that's not easy, because most of us, I know I struggle with this, we make a decision that we're going to get better, that we're going to become holier, that we're going to start showing more of Jesus in our lives, and we force ourselves to do that. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to ask the Spirit to lead us, let the Spirit guide us, let the Spirit do the transformation of us into Jesus, and or to looking like Jesus, and then we just cooperate with the inspiration of the Spirit. It's it's certainly, we're working as a team, us and the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is doing really the heavy lifting or the difficult work. But that's what we're doing during the Advent season. And see, you can also ask Mary to help, because Mary can intercede on our behalf and maybe set things up with the Lord. How it all works behind the scenes, I can't tell you that. None of us know. This is mystery. Or maybe change our disposition internally so that we're more willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, here's the thing, and I try to keep it pretty honest and open on the show. I can't explain how a lot of this stuff works behind the scenes. Nobody can. If we try to think that we are, that we can understand the mystery of our faith, we're fooling ourselves. When I pray and ask the Blessed Mother to help me or to intercede for me, there's going to be things she's doing behind the scenes that I don't know about and that I may never know about. I might see some of the result of her intercession. I might start to change the way I think, but I might not too. She could be talking to Jesus and changing the hearts of other people, you know, would somehow impact me spiritually. It's mysterious how it all works. And I think a great deal of growing closer to Christ and walking with him in faith, it requires trust. and faith. And sometimes we're not going to have all the answers. Once you get to that point where that's okay, and you're willing to accept that, then you are in a good position. That's really where we want to be. You know, you might get some inspirations, but you don't have to understand everything. And you shouldn't be able to, because you're talking about God. So therefore, some things will remain mystery. But I do believe if you ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for you, things are going to happen. If you ask Jesus, if you express the desire to him that you want to grow closer to him during Advent, something's going to happen. It just would not make sense for it not to happen. Because we can't always know God's will, but if our desire is to grow closer to him and become a better person, to show forth more of Christ in our lives, that intention's always going to get answered. But oftentimes we might not see the answer, or we might not really understand exactly how it works. You know, it's kind of like when you pray for patience and you get thrown into a situation that's going to require you to be more patient, or you get somebody in your life who is driving you crazy, and again, it requires you to be patient. Well, that's often the way we grow in virtue. That's the way the Lord operates more often than not. Yeah, I wish that wasn't the case. I wish if I prayed for patience, I would just suddenly become more patient and nothing would bother me. But that's typically not the way he works. But, you know, it's just a matter of trusting by faith that he knows what he's doing, and that it all will work together. But at any rate, I hope your Advent is going well. I was on Relevant Radio earlier today, and John Harper, the host of Morning Air, asked me how my Advent is going. I think it's going pretty well. I feel that there are some changes, very subtly, happening in my life, things that I had wanted to work on. I feel maybe you're getting a little bit better. And you know, one of the things that I think is important to acknowledge, and I've seen this more in the past, but I also see it happening a little bit this year, is instead of making the concrete progress that you want to make, for instance, you want to get closer to Christ, you want to get to know him better. And this was one thing that I specifically prayed for a few years ago. It's something I'm always working on, but in particular, I was really feeling that I did not know him as much as I should. And I came through Advent, right? Not necessarily knowing him, at least in my mind, a lot better, but with a strong desire to continue getting to know him. In other words, moving past Advent and into the next year. So I really came through Advent with a desire, a longing to get to know Jesus and to work at it. The prayer wasn't specifically answered in the Advent season, but a spark grew in me that made me really want to work at it in the upcoming year. So that kind of prayer is going to get answered. But even if you just get a stronger desire to grow closer to Jesus, to get to know God the Father better, you know, even if the desire is there, or to really harness the power of the Holy Spirit, to tap into that power, if the desire is there, that's a good thing. Because desire is really probably more than half the battle. If I desire to grow closer to Christ, if I desire to act in a more Christ-like way, if I desire to love other people more, that is really a good position to be in. So sometimes it's okay to just pray, as St. Ignatius said, for the desire to have the desire. You know, I don't really care about loving people as much as I should. Well, Lord, please help me to care, because I know I'm supposed to care. That's a place to start. You know, sometimes I think we're too hard on ourselves. We can be content with something like that, but these are the kind of prayers that I believe the Lord loves to answer. At any rate, welcome to the program. If you are new to the show, I really appreciate you stopping by. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. including information about all the books that I've written, including my latest, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. It's not going to be too long before we start talking about Give Up Worry for Lent once again. The Give Up Worry for Lent 2020, 2021 is going to be happening in just a few short months, believe it or not. And that whole concept is based on a book that I wrote a few years ago called Give Up, Worry for Lent. It's my best-selling book ever, and every year that we go into Lent, I typically give talks around the country and lead parish missions for Give Up, Worry for Lent. This year is going to be challenging. I'm not really sure how it's going to look with COVID. I don't know what we're going to look like in Lent of this year. But we're just going to have to see how it plays out. But nonetheless, you're going to be hearing more about the book. We'll do, we'll fold it into the show as well as the daily email devotional. But for more information about any of my resources, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's talk about today's gospel. Again, this solemnity, the highest category of holy days in the church, a solemnity. This is a big one. We recognize, we celebrate the fact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was conceived without the stain of original sin. Now, the gospel is chosen specifically for this solemnity, and it's a familiar story. It's a great one. It's from Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Let's read through it, and we'll talk a little bit about it. This is the story of the angel Gabriel being sent from God to the Blessed Mother Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So this story gets set up by Luke telling us that the angel Gabriel was sent from God. So Gabriel was doing his job. God sent him to earth, and that's what angels do. They're typically messengers of God. And he went to a town named Galilee called Nazareth. This was a nothing town. And it's very interesting when you consider this. This is the way God operates. He often reaches out to people or uses people as his instruments who everybody else ignores. You know, and he does this frequently. I think for you and me, that's a very hopeful message, because sometimes we get down on ourselves and we think, well, God can't use me. I'm not important enough. Or we can think that God doesn't know about me because he's too busy. Well, here he chooses the mother for his son out of a town that nobody really cared about. And I think that the message for us is so important, that God sees us. And in his eyes, every one of us is important. So after coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. You know, a lot of times, and I've written a book about the Blessed Mother. The book is called Listen to Your Blessed Mother, Mary's Words in Scripture, and it's a reflection of all of Mary's words and her actions as recorded in the Bible. A lot of times I heard people talk about this story here, saying that Mary was afraid because she was scared that she wouldn't have what it takes to become the mother of the Savior. The St. Luke's account of this, what's called the Annunciation, tells us why Mary was afraid. We don't need to speculate. Mary was afraid by the angel's words. What were the angel's words? "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Or she was greatly troubled, as it's translated here. She wasn't troubled by the fact that she didn't trust God. She wasn't troubled by the fact that she didn't know how this was going to happen, even though she will go on to ask that question. What we are told very specifically in this reading is that Mary was greatly troubled at what was said. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." From what I have read about this, the speculation is that Mary was so humble that she felt unworthy to be visited by an angel. She also knew that whenever an angel would appear and say, deliver the message, the Lord is with you, based on the Old Testament, the scriptures that Mary, the Hebrew scriptures that Mary was familiar with, she understood that this was a big mission. The angel was here for a specific reason. And therefore, she was troubled by his words. She wasn't troubled because she didn't trust in the plan. Because really, the plan hasn't been revealed to her yet. So Mary was troubled by what the angel said. And she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. This gives you a little insight into the way Mary operated. She is known, again, based on Scripture, for pondering, for keeping things in her heart, for meditating, for trying to figure out what God was telling her or wanted her to do. What a great example for us. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I think for any of us who experience fear at one time or another, we see here that Mary herself, sinless, was afraid. Therefore what? Therefore it is not a sin to be afraid, to have fear. Mary was afraid. Otherwise, the angel would not have said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Now, here's where the details start coming out. And this is where Mary, as somebody who knows Scripture, and if we were to read on a little further in Luke's Gospel, would see Mary quoting a prayer typically referred to as the Magnificat, which is acknowledging the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon her, acknowledging his greatness. Much of this Magnificat is pieced together from the Hebrew Scriptures. And what does that tell us? That tells us Mary knows her Scriptures. She knew the deal with the Messiah. This language would resonate with somebody who knew the Scriptures. So Mary's beginning to understand what is being asked of her. "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And let me pause it right here to talk about that. Sometimes we get a little confused, or the question comes up, well, isn't Mary doubting? Well, not really, because if you look at prior to this story, the same angel, Gabriel, appeared to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah questioned the angel, "How can this be, because my wife is old," you know, when told that his wife was going to bear a child. And as a result, he was rendered unable to speak by the angel because he did not believe the message. And you look at Mary's response, you look at Zechariah's response, and oftentimes it said, well, isn't it the same thing? Well, for one thing, same angel, different reaction. So the angel told Zechariah, "You're going to be rendered silent because you did not believe my message." When Mary asked this question, "How can this be? How can this be? Because I have no relationship with a man, or I have no husband." The angel didn't say, "Mary, how come you doubted?" The angel went on to explain how it would come about. So if Mary had not believed, and the angel knew that, if she had expressed any kind of doubt, he would have said, "Well, you didn't believe me." But he answered the question, which was a simple question. We're talking about a virgin birth here. Mary simply did not understand what the angel was asking of her. What we have to understand is that Mary wasn't God. She didn't have all the answers. She was asking a question. Well, how can I put this plan into action? And the angel answered the question, and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." In other words, she asked, "Well, how am I going to do this?" And he told her, "It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore the child to be born would be called Holy, the Son of God." See, now she's getting to the part where she should be afraid, or you and I would be afraid, but she's not afraid. "And behold, Elizabeth," the angel said, "your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." So here we go. The angel's telling the Blessed Mother, you're going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Crazy, right? She was afraid of the angel's words. She was greatly troubled when the angel said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's what troubled her. How did Mary respond to this, these further revelations? She said this, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Boom, just like that. Mary said yes. And I think as we bring this show to a close and we look at the fact that Mary was able to say yes to a crazy, crazy request, something that required incredible faith. Just think of what could happen in your life if you would learn to say yes. So how about for the remainder of the Advent season, we work on saying yes in any number of different ways to God. Every day, throughout the day, you're going to have a chance to either serve yourself or maybe serve God or serve somebody else. How about if you say yes a little bit more and see what he can do in your life? And if you need help, turn to Mary, ask for her intercession, ask that she would be able to help you, that she'd pray for you, so you'd be more willing to hear and respond to the Holy Spirit just as she did. And in that way, Jesus can grow a little bit more in you every day for the remainder of Advent, just like he did in Mary. And then what happens? And then on Christmas Day, you're going to have more of Jesus. You're going to have Jesus come alive in you so that just as Mary gave birth to him on Christmas Day, you can, in a sense, give birth to him and let people see the goodness of Christ flowing out of your life. I mean, it would work out perfectly. So why don't you do that today? Hey, thanks for listening to the program. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Don't forget to visit the website, followingthetruth.com, if you want to find out more about my work or possibly leave a donation. Have yourself a wonderful day. May God bless you. And I look forward to being back on the air with you tomorrow. See you next time. Bye.